Good morning. It is great to see you. You look marvelous. And Kyle, Pastor, congratulations. I hear you're just back from China. Wonderful, wonderful. Congratulations, and you brought Grace with you.
I accomplished my goal.
Yes. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, Judy and I came rolling in just a little late this morning, and if you wonder, sometimes pastors have those mornings just like you do, where everything goes wrong that can, almost. And we spent the night in Manchester last night, so we would be close enough not to be late. And so we did not accomplish that. But we are so thrilled to be here with you this morning. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 16 and 17 today. I am so happy to see you. So many familiar faces. And to hear about the good things that are happening under Pastor Kyle's ministry here at Island Pond, as church is making great progress once again. And I'm so thrilled and so thankful for that. God bless you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, once again, we humble ourselves to you because you are God. And we remember that we are not. And this is really good. We don't want to be in charge of the universe. Lord, we ask you to guide our lives. All of us have great challenges. All of us have great needs. As Brother Adams has already prayed, you know all of them. Physically, spiritually, financially, emotionally. They are many, they are multitudes, they are overwhelming to us, but we're thankful to confess that they are not to you. And thank you that we can trust you today. Now, in these moments, would you open our hearts to your word? Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for these dear people. Thank you for their faithful ministry through many, many years. And Lord, I pray that their best days will be ahead of them. And you bless Pastor Kyle and his family. And thank you for the addition of the new child and the new daughter and the new sister, Grace. And we pray your rich blessing upon them and give them wisdom as they lead this church. We pray that now you will give us victory over the enemy. We know that he would want to overwhelm us and defeat us. But we claim your victory as your children. We are not defeated, but we are victors in Christ. And we say, thank you, Lord. And we put on by faith the whole armor of God today, the helmet of salvation, and the breastplate of righteousness, and the belt of truth, and the shoes of the gospel of peace. And we take in our hands our Bibles, the sword of the Spirit. And above all, we take the shield of faith to snuff out the fiery darts of the wicked one. We thank you for victory that is in you alone. And we claim it today, Lord. Forgive us and cleanse us of our sin by the blood of Jesus today. Remove any barriers between us and you. And we say thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the worship that we've enjoyed this morning as we've sung your praises. And now, Lord, give us wisdom to live our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes You don't have all the information you need. There's a vital nugget missing. It was a cold, rainy fall day, and the children had played indoors for recess. So they were wired, the teachers were frazzled, and everybody was anxious for the mom's minivan and SUV parade to arrive. So Miss Henderson was helping the children get ready, and she was helping little Nelson with his rain boots, and she struggled, and they just wouldn't seem to go on right, but she finally got them on, and then she looked up at little Nelson, and sadness was clouding his face. You know the look. And she said, "What's wrong, Nelson?" And he looked down at his feet. He said, "You got them on the wrong feet." Well, sure enough, she did. So she wrenched them off, and that was almost harder than getting them on, but she got them off and got them back on the right feet. And then she looked up at him again, and he still wasn't happy. He had little puddles of tears forming on his lower eyelids. And she said, "What's wrong now, Nelson?" He said, "These aren't my boots." So she said, "Oh my." And so she pulled them off again. And she said, "All right, where are your boots?" He said, "I don't have any boots. These are my brother's. My mama made me wear them, and I don't like them." And she said, okay, fine. And she got them back on the third time. And she was trying to remember why she wanted to be a kindergarten teacher, but she said, "All right, your brother's boots are on the right feet. Now, where are your mittens?" He said, I stuffed them in the toes of the boots. Sometimes you just don't have all the information you need, do you? Now, that's hard to imagine, have a shortage of information in our day of instant access, everything information, isn't it? How can it be that you wouldn't have the information you need? But we know that there is a vast difference between information, knowledge, and wisdom. Though we live in a technologically advanced instant access age, many people lack the wisdom to live a truly satisfying life. And the scripture that we're going to look at this morning, these two verses, the central truth in them is that we can live in all wisdom. Now, that's what we need to know, because we are in an age of foolishness. I started to say we're in a day of dumb, but we are truly in an age of foolishness. And you understand that I mean by foolishness, as the Bible describes it, not a lack of intellect, but a lack of morality. That's the way it's described in the Bible, a lack of integrity. And we are sure in a day like that, aren't we? Where there is a crying need for wisdom. But beyond that, you and I know that we need God's wisdom. How in the world am I going to be a husband or a grandfather who lives in all wisdom? How can you be a wife, a grandmother who lives in all wisdom? How can we do our work? How can we do our ministry in our churches? How can we be the people that God wants us to be? How can we live our lives in all wisdom? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's what these verses are about. Let's read them. Colossians 3, 16 and 17. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom," my translation says, "teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, did you notice the little phrase, in all wisdom? It might be in different places in your Bibles. It may say, with all wisdom or in all wisdom, but the message is the same. That's the central truth. God wants us to live not in foolishness, but in all wisdom. Now, how can we do it? Well, there are four key things that he says, and they all center on Christ, of course. First of all, he says, you can live in all wisdom if you let Christ's word indwell you. You see it? It's at the beginning of verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You can live in all wisdom if you will, first of all, let Christ's word indwell you. Now, how do you do that? Well, first of all, you notice that it is a matter of surrender. You let it happen. you don't do it to yourself, but you let it happen. You receive it from God. But notice that it's not only a matter of surrender, but it's a matter of tuning in to Christ's word. Christ speaks. Have you ever said, I wish God would speak to me? I mean, I wish he would talk out loud. I wish he would just speak up. I want to know what God wants for me. Why doesn't he speak up? Well, may I say to you, on the one hand, no, you don't. You don't want God to talk out loud to you. A couple of reasons. Now, if it was the still small voice that the prophet heard, or maybe the voice that Samuel heard, that would be bearable. But if you told somebody else what God told you, they are going to say, I don't think so. And you might say, well, I think he said, you might forget. And you might get confused. And it might be like one time when God did speak from heaven, when Jesus was here and said, this is my beloved son. And do you remember what the people said? Some people said, did you hear that? God spoke. Other people said, it was thunder. It would just be confusion. But God didn't always speak in a still small voice or a human voice. One time, he told Moses, go down the mountain and tell the people to get ready. I'm going to speak to them in 3 days. And in 3 days, he was going to give them the Ten Commandments. And he said, I want you to prepare yourself. First of all, I want you to build a fence around the mountain because nobody is to come up the mountain. Nobody's to touch the mountain while my manifest presence is on the mountain. And if they do, you either stone them or shoot them with arrows. And if an animal touches the mountain, you kill them as well. You say, well, that's harsh. Well, you see, he didn't want anybody riding or running up the mountain and saying, I saw God, let me make an idol for you. I'll tell you what God looks like. Great business, but breaking the first commandment and the second commandment he was about to give them. So he said, wash your clothes, wash your bodies, put on clean clothes. Husbands and wives, no intimacy for the next 3 days. Get ready. I'm coming to speak. And on the third day, there was a cloud came down on the mountain. And then there was earthquake. And then there was smoke. And their smoke began to boil up from the mountain like it was a volcano, like a furnace. And then there was fire shooting up from the mountain. And then there was a blast of a long trumpet. And then there was the quaking of the earth, and everybody was shaking and panicking. And God began to speak and said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. And he gave them audibly the Ten Commandments. Now, do you remember what the people did at the end of that chapter? The leaders went running to Moses and said, please don't let God talk to us anymore. We'll die if he does. You go and talk to God, then you come back and tell us what he says and we'll do it. Now, listen, that's why I say, while all of us have probably said, I wish God would just tell me what he wants. I wish God would speak up. The good news is, he has. Because right here in this verse it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. You see, God has spoken to us. The word of Christ is mentioned only this one time in the Bible. But 56 times, the Bible mentions the word of God or God's word. The word of God. God's word. And 281 times where it mentions the word or the words of the Lord. So, twice it says that the Holy Spirit spoke by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit spoke through the prophets to give his word. So, here's the point I'm trying to make. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the triune God, has spoken to us in his word. That is so much better than once in a while, every 800 years or so, God speaking up. That's so much better. Because when you say, God, speak to me, all I have to do is get my fire going and get the blanket on my legs and get in my easy chair with my cup of coffee and open God's word and say, Lord, speak to me. And God's word can speak to me and I can repeatedly study it. And it is verifiable because I can say to you, here, look at what God said. Let me tell you how it applies to me. And you and I can discuss it and we can study it together. It is verifiable. It is repeatable. And at our leisure, we can receive what God says to us. Isn't that better than God speaking from the mountain and scaring us to death? God speaks. Isn't that great? Christ speaks, but notice also, Christ settles down. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. The word dwell means to settle down and be at home. When we were here, we got a little dog from, we adopted it. And Bernie was his name. Everybody thought he was obnoxious because he was, except for Judy. He loved her. And he belonged to her. He was her companion. But you know, when we first got him, he was not well trained. And we would take him out and walk him and walk him and walk him and then bring him back in the house, and there he would do what he was supposed to have done outside. So we found out we couldn't leave him when we went somewhere just free because he would mess things up. And so we started putting him in a crate when we left somewhere. And so little by little, we were able to get him trained. And then we would let him out of the crate. And then finally got trained and he could get out of the crate when we were gone. Now, here's the point I'm making. A lot of us treat Jesus like we treated Bernie. We say, Jesus, I want you in my life, but here's where you can be in this little corner. The rest of this stuff, that's mine. You get the point? I'll control that. This is mine. But you, I'll let you stay here until I get you trained, and then I'll let you have some more parts of my life. That's not what God wants. He says, let the word of Christ get off these pages and into your heart, but don't just let it be one little part. Let it be every part. And let it saturate you. Let it live richly in you. Let it settle down and be at home in you. Let it take over every part of your life. Let Jesus be Lord of all your life. Christ speaks. Christ settles. In other words, He wants to be at home in you. Every part of your life needs to be open to Him. And it can be. But notice, as I said, He wants to saturate your life. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's like Psalm 119:97 says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation day and night. I read your word in the morning, and I let it get down into my heart. And then throughout the day, I meditate on it like a cow getting under a tree and chewing the cud. I bring up your word again in those down moments, and I meditate on it, and I think about it, and I mull it over, and I try to get all of the nutrients out of it for my soul. That's what it is to let the word dwell in you richly. A few years ago, in fact, it happened when we were here. Judy said, we're going to start taking vitamins. And I said, I don't need vitamins. I don't want to take vitamins. She said, yes, you're going to take vitamins. So we took vitamins. And, you know, I did not have the experience of taking a vitamin and saying, whoa, hey, that was great. Got that. No. But you know what happened? Over time, the allergies that used to take over me every spring and I couldn't talk some Sundays, that went away. Right now, I'm a bit hoarse from the surgeries I had on my neck. But that other stuff has largely gone away. Why is that? It was because, I think, over time, I had an accumulative effect from the nutrition of the vitamin. And the point that I'm trying to make is that's what God's Word does. Every time I read my Bible every morning, I'll admit, I don't get thunderbolts and lightning. Just every once in a while, I love it when that happens. But most of the time, it's just feeding. It's nutrients. But as God's Word begins to saturate our lives, you know what happens? We get wisdom for daily life. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So, number one, you and I can live in all wisdom when we let Christ's word indwell us. Secondly, we can live in all wisdom when we let Christ's church instruct us. This will be quicker, I promise. But notice the next thing. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching is someone, the pastor, your Sunday school teacher, explaining the text. Here's what it means. Admonishing is the explanation of how it applies to your life, how it corrects you, how it directs you. And notice where we get that. We get that from one another. Do you know 92 times in the New Testament, one another is mentioned, and almost always it's talking about the relationship that we have inside the local church. Why do you need the church? Can't you worship God freely? The Holy Spirit lives in you. Jesus Christ, your Lord, you got His Word. Can't you do this anywhere? Yes, you can. But there is something special about coming here with God's people and getting the one another relationship. Jerry was awakened by his wife on Sunday morning. She said, "Get up, get ready. We're going to the early service today." He said, "No, I don't want to go. I don't want to be there with those people." And she said, "Yes, we've got to get ready." You see, Jerry didn't want to go to church that day because he had only gotten to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. And the reason was is because they'd gotten a call about midnight from the police again, that their son had been arrested again, and he'd gone down to bail him out. On the way home, he and their 19-year-old son had not even talked. It wasn't so much that he'd given up on his son as he had given up on himself. He had said it all for 5 years. He didn't know what else to say, and he was just defeated. And that Sunday morning, when his wife said, "Get up, get ready," he said, "The last people I want to see is the church people. I'm not going today." So, 45 minutes later, they were in the service. And as the singing began, Jerry couldn't sing. When they prayed, he didn't even bow his head. He said, "God's not listening. Why should I pray?" When the preacher stood up to preach, he was just wanting it to be over. Kind of like some of you feel right now. And then when it was finally over, and he had not entered in, he had not worshiped. We have those days. Then his wife had another horrible idea. She said, "Let's go to our Sunday school class. Let's go to our Bible fellowship." And he said, "No, I'm not going." So, 10 minutes later, they were in the class. And again, he just could not listen. But he did think about the teacher, Bill. And he remembered Bill had trouble with his son when his son was a teenager, just like what we've had. I wonder if Bill has anything to say to me today. So after the service, he said, "You got a minute?" Bill sat down with him. And there in the Sunday school class, after everybody had gone, for about 30 minutes, they just talked, cried together a little bit, since there were no ladies around. And Bill shared some scripture. And he told him about his own experience. And they prayed together. And Jerry said when he left that day, everything seemed different. Now, what had happened? Had his son suddenly straightened up? No. Were his life circumstances different? No. But he had had a one another relationship of teaching and admonishing. And there are times we just need that. We need the wisdom that comes from one another. Let me tell you, there are some days that while you've got great music and you've got a great pastor, there are some days that you just need the one another stuff. And some days, the greatest ministry that can go on is a couple of you just sitting down together and crying a little bit and talking and sharing. That's the ministry of the body of Christ. And you can live in all wisdom when you let Christ's word indwell you and let Christ's church instruct you. But third, when you let Christ's praise inspire you. Do you see it at the end of verse 16? In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Psalms, that's the stuff in the Bible. The psalms. The hymns, that's the what we sing to celebrate what God has done and who He is. And spiritual songs are the testimonies of praise, what you have done for me and how I worship you. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in the body together is a ministry that gives us wisdom for living our daily lives. You say, now how can that be? May I tell you, I don't know. But I know it happens. I have experienced it. And you have too. Just a few years ago, a few months after I'd had prostate surgery, three weeks after I'd had prostate cancer surgery. I had a cold. It was winter. And I was recovering. And I had made the horrible, horrible agreement that I was going to be the bivocational pastor of a little church for a while, for a transitional period, till they could get ready to call a full-time pastor. And I was dragging in the dumps emotionally. We were supposed to start that ministry in 2 weeks, and I was thinking, I'll never be able to preach again in my life. What have I done? And that morning we got up, and I said to Judy, I just can't go to our church where we're members today. I heard about the new pastor in town over at Faith Baptist Church. Let's go over there and hear him. I just don't want to be with anybody that knows me today. I couldn't explain it. That's just the way I felt. So she said, all right, let's go hear him. And it was close to our house. So we went. We got there. And, of course, the new pastor wasn't even there that day. And I didn't want to sing. I wanted to go back home, but we were already there. And it turned out there were a couple of people that knew us, so we couldn't escape. And so there we were. We were stuck. And I'm grieving over my surgery, my cold, and the agreement that I'm going to have to start preaching every Sunday with something new every week. And I just don't know if I can do it. I was in the dumps, and I was feeling blue, and I was feeling sorry for myself. And the singing began, and I didn't sing, but something happened. I don't know what it was, But somebody read a scripture. I don't remember what it was. I remember that after the singing, the preaching started, and it was an administrator who was preaching that day, and that wasn't his best day. But he did say something, and there was a scripture that clicked in my mind, and because of the worship time, there was something different in me. And I looked up that scripture, and I got a bulletin and a pen, and before I knew it, I had outlined what I was going to preach for the next 4 weeks. And by the end of that sermon, I felt like a new person. Now, what happened? I don't know. But it sure is cool when it happens, isn't it? And guess what? God said, that's exactly what I'll do for you. Sometimes it's the one another. Sometimes it's just the word getting into your heart. Sometimes it's the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs that inspire you. But all of it God uses to give you wisdom. Isn't our Lord good? Let Christ's word indwell you. Let Christ's church instruct you. Let his praise inspire you. And with this, I'm finished. Let Christ's name identify you. Verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all, not part, but all, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, word or deed, whatever you say, whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let his name identify you and have a thankful heart. Did you notice he mentioned a thankful heart at the beginning, at the end of verse 16 and also, well, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. Some translations say with thankfulness in your heart. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to his name, through his name. Here's what I want to say to you about that. When someone has some art skills and they want to become an artist today, they go to art school. But it used to be that they tried to attach themselves to a master artist. They became an apprentice. And if one became an apprentice, they just do whatever the artist says to do. In the beginning, it's sweep the floor in the studio, prepare the canvases, clean the brushes. But mostly it is just be with the master and watch and observe and learn. Just be. And sometimes after a period of time, the master will begin to say, now, as I've done this painting, you've been watching, I want you to put some highlights in this area. Then he will say, here's my idea. I want you to complete this. But when the artwork is done, when the master checks it out and it meets his approval, he takes the brush and he signs his name. I think what this passage is saying is Jesus wants us to live in all wisdom. And if we've let his word indwell us and his church instruct us and his praise inspire us and his name identify us, and we have lived our day in all wisdom and saying and doing the things to his glory, then at the end of the day, he can sign his name and say, that's exactly how I wanted to live my life today. That's exactly what I wanted you to do. And when we can live like that, and we can, we will be living in all wisdom. Now, you see, there are some words that don't match Christ's name. You can't lie in the name of Jesus. You can't curse in the name of Jesus. You can't be unkind in the name of Jesus. But if you will let His Word, His church, His praise inspire you, He can empower you and live His life through you so that you can live His will in all wisdom. And if we do that, our families will be an example for Jesus in our communities, and this church will be a shining light brightly for Him in this region. May it be so, for Jesus' sake. Let's pray.